Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to see you all on this beautiful Sabbath day. So this time of year, it can be an exciting time, especially for those of us who have gardens at home. Many different plants are just starting to be ready to harvest, and we can all start to enjoy the fruits of our labor. At our garden, at home, when it comes to planting and separating the plants that we want from the weeds, I'm not really the guy who has any idea what I'm looking at, especially when it comes to when those plants are first starting to come up. Everything pretty much looks the same. And honestly, even when they get a little bigger and more mature, I still a lot of times don't really know what I'm looking at. At a glance, they look similar. All of the green plants together next to the weeds all around them. You have to really examine them and look closely at the leaves and the stalks to separate what you want. It's not until later when they start to bear their fruit when it becomes more obvious what it is. It's when the fruits of the plant are on display when we no longer have any confusion between what kind of plant that is. When we see the bright red tomato or the yellow and orange peppers, it becomes obvious what we're looking at. Well, interestingly enough, there's some similarities with this when it comes to our spiritual life as well. Over in Matthew 16, Matthew 7 in verse 16, speaking about false prophets in this context, he gives us some sound insight and direction on assessing someone's character. And in return, shows us how our conduct on the outside, or our fruits, can give us some insight on what is happening in our hearts as well. Again, that's Matthew 7 and verse 16. It says, "You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. And a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruits, nor can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them." He gives us some guidelines on testing the character of the people around us. It doesn't matter what we say our principles and beliefs are, they're going to be self-evident in our conduct with other people and the actions that we take in our day-to-day life. The true nature of who we are on the inside inevitably comes out in the fruits and the actions in our life. It's a standard we can apply to other people like the verse is talking about, but it's also a standard we can apply to ourselves as well and test our own character. Does it hold up to the ideal character that we have set for ourselves in our mind? If we call ourselves followers of Christ and want to live in a way that is in line with that, the fruits our life produces should be self-evident. If we go back to the garden analogy, if we're living up to the ideal character we set, the fruits in a life would be like the bright, shiny, round tomato. Everyone who sees that fruit would have no doubt what the values that guide our life is. That fruit being a reflection of our character and what we have set for ourselves. And as we know, the famous set of scriptures over in Galatians 5 lays out the fruits of the Spirit, which would be on display in our life if we're walking and being led by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read those over in Galatians 5 and verse 22. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control, and against such things there is no law." These fruits mentioned here are what would come naturally in our lives when our focus is in line with the way God instructs us to live. Just like the tomato plant naturally produces the bright red tomato, the follower of Christ should naturally produce the fruits mentioned in Galatians 5. So the question is that we all have to ask ourselves, is how closely do the fruits in my life resemble the example Christ sets for us in the Bible? Obviously, we will not be perfect like he was. But how close are we? Are we producing the same kind of fruits and good works that he did? When we read off the list in Galatians, are there some things people will be seeing in our life? Are they the same things people will be seeing in our life? But that's the thing about these fruits. We can't hide them. Whether good or bad, they're always on display every day of our life, whether we're paying attention or not. But this ends up being an important responsibility for us all. Not only is the fruits and actions on display for us to see and examine ourselves, to learn how we can improve and grow closer to God, but if we profess to be a follower of Christ, whether we like it or not, that puts a special responsibility on our shoulders. Over in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20, again, that's 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20, it says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, and we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God." We can see here, when we take on Christ's sacrifice and let the Holy Spirit work through us, we become a living testimony to the power and life-changing ability of God and his Holy Spirit. We are then ambassadors representing to the world the kind of good works that can come through the love for God. They will see the change in our heart. They will see the good fruits blossoming out of our life, giving those we interact with the example of how much good that can come from living as Christ taught us to. It's a beautiful thing to see the testimony and evidence of Christ in people's lives. But on the contrary, as I mentioned earlier, there's a flip side to this as well. When we profess to have God in our life, but don't take seriously what that really means, we can actually have the opposite effect. We can push people away from God, not towards him in the way that we live. If we're not careful in examining and taking note of the fruits in our life, we can end up looking like hypocrites and insincere. Hypocrisy is just so easy to spot, and it's a big reason that a lot of people don't want anything to do with church or religion in general. They see the hypocrisy in it. They hear people profess the ideal, but then they produce completely different fruits in the way that they live. Over in Titus 2 and verse 7, again, that's Titus 2 and verse 7, he speaks a little bit on this topic. It says, "In all things, having shown yourself a pattern of good works, in the doctrine, in purity, sensibleness, and without corruption, in sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he who opposes may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." When the ideal we profess to live by lines up with the fruits that we are producing in our life, who could say anything against us? They would hear the ideal character we talk about, and then they would see that in practice too, giving a living testimony to everyone around of what the love for God can do for you and for all of us. This doesn't affect just those who may be skeptical or interested in the Word of God, but even more so, it actually affects the children and the young people growing up and learning in the church all around us. Children watch everything that we do. You can't sneak anything by them. They watch your every move. It's how they learn. They soak it all in, watching and taking note of everything you do. And being a father now for a few years, I've learned this lesson firsthand. It can be kind of a surprise and scares you from time to time. You don't always realize it all the time until they say something or do something totally unexpected. And sadly, when you really notice it is when they say something embarrassing, and you wonder, where did they learn to do that? And then the realization sinks in. They're doing exactly what they see me do. You think, I never told them to act like that. But in reality, I did. I told them through my own actions that this is the way to act. It's like a cold splash of reality sometimes, and really makes you think about the way that you're acting. I'll share one quick example. This one's not an embarrassing one, but it does illustrate how much children soak in and watch and learn how to respond to things. So just the other day, Tiffany was washing some dishes, and her favorite big round cutting board rolled off the side of the counter, hit the ground with a bang, and broke in half. She was pretty upset. It was her favorite one, the one she used for making sourdough and rolled out bread and baked with all the time on a daily basis. And she was visibly upset, talking about how much she loved it and how sad she was she's not going to be able to make bread with it anymore. And she was going on and on about it. And then Joanna walked up to her and put her hand on Tiffany, and said, "Mommy, it's going to be okay. Look, Mommy," and made sure Tiffany was looking her in the eyes, and said, "Look." And she said again, "It's going to be okay, Mommy." And she walked over to the half of the broken cutting board, picked it up, and said, "Look, Mommy, you can still use it. See? It's going to be okay. You're going to be okay, Mommy." And Tiffany and I just looked at each other and just busted out laughing. We never told her that when someone's upset, you put your hand on their shoulder, you look them in the eyes, and you console them. You explain to them how they're going to be okay. But she saw how that we did that to her when she was upset. So naturally, that must be what you do when someone's upset, right? It's what Mommy and Daddy does for me all the time. So this example is kind of a funny one, but there have been plenty of other times we see our little ones reacting to a situation that isn't very funny. But whether you have kids at home or not, we are all examples to the young minds that we see all around us. Whether you like that idea or not, we're all directly impacting the development of the next generation coming up. We all have a role in how the next generation sees the church and how they navigate the world. They hear every week at services and Bible class and at home the way that we're supposed to act as followers of God. But as we know, a bigger impact is actually going to be watching the way that we all treat each other and react to different situations. They learn so much from the fruits that every single one of us is producing. Children will see the hypocrisy in our actions as well. We all have that responsibility, like I said, whether we want it or not, to be a representative of the faith that we claim to have. The fruits that we display on a daily basis are being examined closely by the multitudes of young, impressionable minds eager to learn and to grow. And as we know, this weekend we have the children's camp coming up at Seven Mountains. And this is something we should keep in mind this weekend as well. Whether you're an adult in leadership position there, or a staff member, junior staff, young adults, or even teenagers helping out, we have to remember that we are all setting an example for the next generation with the fruits and decisions and interactions that we have with each other. They watch how we talk to one another, how we treat each other, how we respond to adversity. They're soaking it all in. So with those fruits affecting not only our personal life, but the lives of those around us inside and outside the faith, making a testimony of the grace and work that God can do in our life, but also the example of, to the next generation learning about God's way, we can really see that this is a big deal and responsibility that we all have. To have sincerity in our faith without hypocrisy. So how do we keep our fruits in line with our ideal? Not to seem hypocritical in the way that we live. Well, interestingly enough, it's actually a lot like the way that all the children learn from us. They imitate what they see. We need to be imitators as well. Over in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, a verse I'm sure you've all heard many times, says, "Be imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ." He writes, "Imitate Christ." And to imitate Christ, what do we need to do? We need to know him, first of all, right? We need to spend time with him. Learn from his example. Look at the fruits in his life. A close personal relationship with the Word is one of the best ways to keep us conscious of our own fruits and the impact that we have around us. By trying to imitate Christ's work, we become familiar and conscious of our own fruits as well. And this is reiterated over in John 15, in verse 1. Again, that's John 15, in verse 1. It says, I am the true vine. In verse 1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every one that bears fruit, he prunes it. So that it may bring forth more fruit. And now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. So abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it remains in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. We can see here, to bear the good fruit, to be a light and an example of what Christ can do through us, we need to be part of the vine, connected to the source of good. The fruits expressed in our life will directly be linked to our relationship with him and his Holy Spirit guiding us. Imitating the perfect example that he had set for us, though we won't be perfect in our pursuit of it, but the fruits that blossom from our life will point back to the perfect work that he can do in all of our lives. Like we recognize the veggies in the garden with the bright colors and shapes, we can also recognize where our heart is and at different times in our life. The fruits we produce are a direct correlation to the connection to the vine and the source of truth. When we're connected to that source, we can be a wonderful example and a testimony to the power and grace that God has for us all. But if we're not careful, we can also push away or lead astray those who are watching us. Our fruits can display hypocrisy to those who we interact with. But when we choose to follow God and his word, the choice is ours. Will we choose to stay close to that vine and bring forth good fruits for everyone to enjoy or not? Well, to finish out today, I'd like to read again Galatians 5 and verse 22 to end the message. Again, that's Galatians 5 and verse 22, and then I'm going to skip down and read verse 25 to end. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control, and against such things there is no law. Verse 25, so if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit as well.